And reading from verse 9, the thing which hath been is now. It is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. And if we would turn to chapter 3 and read from verse 15. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we have read from your divine word this morning. And we know the author of those words was not Solomon, but you. And we see that there is a certain wisdom and warning in those words. And so we ask that you might help us to apply them in our lives as we look to thy holy word for our daily bread. Father, you said in 1 John, if we walk in the light as you are in that light, that we might have fellowship with you and with others, and that the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, will cleanse us from all sin. So help us, Father, to keep walking in the light as you are in that light, so that we will always be walking in your presence and in the present tense word, which is your present tense presence. Then we shall know that we are cleansed by the precious blood of your Son. Be with us in our study this morning, dear Father, and help us to be mindful of your presence, thus keeping us humble as we do walk with thee. Help us, Father, to understand the subject that we are talking about and that we're taking for our study this morning. For we ask it in humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in our text this morning, we read that which has been is now. I believe the Alpha and Omega principle, which we've been studying, helps us to understand what Solomon is saying here. Because also there is nothing new under the sun. And then he said, and that which is to be hath already been. But the thing that I would like us not to miss is his conclusion. He said, and God requireth that which is past. Yes, God requires that which is past. And if God requires that which is past, then all who claim to follow and believe the message are going to be held accountable for what they claim and follow and claim to believe. All that we know about the message and the messenger of this day and the great sacrifice that he made on our behalf to bring to the world the revelation of Jesus Christ as it was given to him by the very personal presence of our Lord and Savior. And we will be held accountable for what we are doing with what we've been giving or have been given. In Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29 we read, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You were not held accountable for the message until God revealed that message to you. And now that he has revealed it to you, it has become your message. The things which are hidden belong unto God, but the things which are hidden are revealed belong unto us and to our children. And if the message then belongs to you, if it's your message, then what are you doing about it? The message, if God gives the messenger a message and the messenger does not deliver that message, woe be to the messenger. You all know what happened to the man that was given a talent and he buried it because he feared his Lord. And when his Lord came back and found that he had buried it, he took that which was given to him and gave it to another. Somehow I feel that that's what God is doing with these meetings around the world. For 20-some years, men sat at Brother Vail's feet. They heard the doctrine, but they did nothing about it. They didn't tell it to others. They kept it to themselves. And God now is giving it to others that are telling others. And that message is getting out amongst the message populace in general. So what investments have we made with the message God has given to us? The problem I see in many believers who claim to be following the message is that they do not understand the message. They know a few things about William Branham, God's servant and messenger, but they do not know what his message was. And God requires that which is past. God didn't bring a messenger on the scene just to put on a show. He came for a purpose, to make ready a prepared people for the Lord. Yes, God will call to past, and he'll call our past into account. And he will inquire of what we knew about it and what they did about what they knew. And yes, they will all be judged for claiming to believe the message when they do not. Oh, they know Brother Branham had a message, and they claim to believe that message, but it comes right down to it, or when it comes down to it, they do not know what that message was, and therefore do not believe what that message is. And that is a sad indictment of the mainstream message followers today. And I do not say all, but I do say that many are in that condition and do not even know it. Laodicea was filled with people who were blind, miserable, naked, yet thought they were rich and increased with goods. They didn't realize they were blind, naked. The Bible says they were blind and naked, didn't even know it. When we should be living our lives so ever carefully, not knowing if each heartbeat is the last that we'll ever have. And yet we are so careless and so carefree concerning the message that has been given to us. And the prophet of God gave his own lifeblood so that you and I could receive this word. And yet we take it so lightly. We take it for granted. Everything that's been taking place in this hour, we just take it for granted. From the message I know, Brother Branham said, and if Job by vision could stand so firmly upon a promise, how much more ought we to do after Christ has raised from the dead and become the first fruits of those that slept and sent back the Holy Spirit as a seal of promise upon us that we too shall live. Because I live, you shall live also, seeing his great presence among us, working, doing the same signs and wonders that he did on earth, giving us a hope, and we come to the resurrection and then remain on our ash heap. Let's get off the ash heap today with a new vision, with a new power, with a new determination that we shall see God in his power. We shall see the resurrection and the things that are coming. Now, for the past 3 months, we've been studying the Alpha and Omega comparisons between the three exoduses under the pillar of fire. The first exodus was the pillar of fire using Moses to take the people out of Egypt, which is a type of the world church. And then we saw that that same pillar of fire remained on the scene and used Joshua to bring the people into the promise for that hour and to positionally place the people to that promise. At the second exodus, we again saw the same pillar of fire come back on the scene and indwell his son. And through that son, the people came out of that religious organization, that ecclesiastical system, but then God took Jesus off the scene like he took Moses off the scene. And yet that pillar of fire remained on the scene. And he used the ministry of a teacher to the Gentiles, Paul, to positionally place the people in that message for that hour, to bring the people into the promise for the hour. And so Paul, as Joshua had before him, positionally placed the people into the promise for that hour. Now we've seen the same thing repeat again. That which has been is now. And at this third exodus under the pillar of fire, we've seen how God used a man, William Branham, to call the people out of organization. And after he delivered his message to come out of her, my people, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, then God took that prophet off the scene. And yet that same pillar of fire remained on the scene, as he had with Paul, as he had with Joshua. And that same pillar of fire has remained to lead us into the millennium and to place us as sons in a teaching ministry, under a teaching ministry. We have a promise to be conformed to the image of God's firstborn son, getting us ready for the change of the body, which is the adoption, as Paul called it, in Romans chapter 8. Now this morning I would like to address another subject altogether, and that is a certain question that seems to come up no matter where I go around the world. As you're well aware, there are many people who follow the message of Brother Branham who are looking for him to be raised from the dead and come back to finish his ministry. Those who teach this call it a return ministry. Now, there are many different versions of this return ministry teaching. But the main theme of all of this is, number one, Brother Branham will come back from the dead. Well, let me just say this. If Brother Branham doesn't come back from the dead, then there won't be a resurrection. Because if he doesn't come back, who else is going to be resurrected? So we have to understand how it is that the resurrection will take place and the order of the resurrection. Many of these people believe Brother Branham will come back and then he'll speak the word and the resurrection will take place. That's hogwash. Jesus didn't do that in the Alpha. The Bible says he cried with a loud voice and he gave up the ghost. And it said when he cried, it said many of the saints which slept arose, comma, and came out of the grave after his resurrection. He was the first fruit. Number two, they believe that he will have a tent meeting. And number three, that he will use the third pole in this ministry. Now, that being the main threads that tie all these versions together, let me say that some people go so far as to believe that Brother Branham will need an airplane to move his tent around because they had a dream about it. They say that Brother Branham told them this. And I don't know what Brother Branham personally told that person, but frankly, I don't care what Brother Branham told that person. Because all I really care about is what's on those tapes and what's in those visions. And there was nothing about an airplane on the tapes, and there was nothing about an airplane in the vision. And frankly, having dealt with people for 54 years, and many, many people around the world in the last half dozen to dozen years, I can say this. The many times when a person is telling you something, that they would like to do a certain thing, I learned this from the Japanese. If you just nod your head and say, yes, 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 you're not saying I agree with you. You're saying I understand what you're saying. And so people misread that and they say, you promised. No, I never promised. I get that all the time from Eastern Africa, different places, Philippines. They say, you know, I would like this and this and this. I say, well, I hear you. I'll pray about it. They come back to you 2 months later. Well, you promised. I said, no, I didn't promise. And you know I didn't promise. Therefore, you're off the list. People use games. They try to force you into doing what they want. They try to take your words and twist them, and you know exactly what your words were. And that's what they're doing with Brother Branham's words. They're taking them, they're twisting them, and they're making all kinds of isms out of them. Some would say, well, Brother Branham's going to have the tent in this city for 6 weeks, this city for 6 weeks, and this city for 6 weeks, and this city for 6 weeks. Because Brother Branham said, you know, when I have the tent, I'd like to have it here, I'd like to have it here, I'd like to have it here. But what he likes is different from what God wants. What we like. Like Jesus said, Father, it's my will that you take this cup from me, but yet nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And ultimately, God's will is the will that will be done. God is sovereign. People say, well, Brother Brown, based on the third pole and these things, is it possible that you will speak these people into a resurrection? Brother Brown said, well, brother, that's possible if God willed it. But he said, the thing you don't understand is those squirrels, that was sovereignly given. I didn't ask for them. God sovereignly gave them. Brother Brown didn't create anything. God creates. God is the creator. So because a person came to Brother Branham and volunteered their services, doesn't mean that God wants their services. For instance, you tell a person that you would like to do something. That person might say, well, then do it. Now, that does not constitute that that person approves what you want to do. Billy Paul testified that his father gave a couple a certain advice concerning birth control. And then the next couple that came to him, Brother Ram gave complete the opposite advice concerning birth control. So Billy asked his father, he said, Father, why did you give these people the opposite advice? He said, because the second couple were going to do it anyway. Another minister came to Brother Branham. He said, Brother Branham, he said, God called me to Africa. Brother Branham said, well, if God called you to Africa, you go to Africa. Brother Billy said, Dad, he said, I thought you told me that he was out of the Lord's will, that God didn't call him to Africa. He said, well, he said, you're not going to change the man's opinion. If he thinks God told him to do something, then he better do what he thinks God told him to do. You see, it's not our job to try to convince anybody of anything. Our job is to lay the word out for the Holy Spirit. One plants, another waters, but it's God that giveth the increase. You know, Michael, you've watched me over the years. I don't force anybody here to do anything. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. We don't run this place like a Gestapo. We don't have a board that is like a Gestapo. They run rule over you. You come, you go, because you're led by God to come and go. If you trip a few times on the way, nobody's there to slap you down and call you on the spot. Every son that cometh to God must first be tried and tested. And sometimes when you do those little trip-ups, if you just stand back and let God deal with the person, then God can deal with the person. But if you're standing there hounding them, pointing them, calling them sinner, everything else, God can't deal with that person because they're dealing with you. Till they get you out of the way, then maybe God can deal with them. So lay the word out. Be instant in season, out of season, and reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering. Some even believe that the man will fly this airplane to Israel to get the resurrected saints and gather them up to fly them to the tent. Now, I never heard Brother Branham say anything about needing an airplane, and his vision never showed anything about an airplane. And so people need to say what's on the tapes, and they need to say what the vision said and just leave the rest to the speculators. Brother George Smith told me not too long ago, the same people talking about this, the brother who claims to have the airplane ready, now he's changed it to a helicopter. Well, what's it going to be in the year 2010? If the Lord should tarry that long. You see, they change their stories. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The problem that I see is that people are always looking forward to what God's going to do. And they're speculating what He's going to do. And they're always looking back at what he did, but they fail to see what God is doing right now. What is God doing in your life today? August, what is it, 20th today? What is God doing on the 19th? What's God doing on the 19th of August? That's what's important. Many of you weren't even born when William Branham was on the scene. So what are you looking back for? What are you looking forward when you should be looking at what God is doing right now today? From Identify Christ of All Ages, said, man is always praising God for what he's done and always looking forward for what he will do and ignoring what he's doing. It's always been that same thing, and everybody's got his own private interpretation. But God is his own interpreter. God don't need no one to interpret. The Bible said it's without interpretation. It don't need man. God interprets the Bible himself. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That settles it. God said, let a virgin conceive, and she did. That settled it. When God says anything and vindicates it, that's his interpretation of it. He said he poured out his Spirit in the last days, and he did. There's no interpretation to that. It's already interpreted. Unbelievers might rise, and skeptics might stand, and whatever they might do, but God did it anyhow. Because he said that he would do it. He doesn't need anybody to interpret him. He does his own interpretation. He made the promise. People believe it. He interprets it to them. He's the Lord that heals all our diseases. I can't tell you how He does it, but He does it. He said that He would do it, that He would do it. So it's up to your faith. Now the thing of it is, Brother Branham said that is the way people miss what God is doing. By looking forward and looking backward, they miss what God is doing right now. I can't tell you about the man, William Branham. I'm sorry, I didn't know the man, William Branham. But I do know the same one he served. I can tell you about him. God in simplicity, Brother Branham said, many miss Him by the way He reveals Himself. Now, man has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is going to do. And as I made the old statement many times, that man still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did and always looking forward to what he will do and ignoring what he's doing now. You see it? Now, the next thing I would like to say concerning this return ministry is that a return ministry is not a new concept. Return ministry is as old as Christianity itself. 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, the disciples sat around doing absolutely nothing because they were looking for the return ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, on the other hand, recognized the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the pillar of fire that he met on the road to Damascus, and it was that same pillar of fire that had come to Moses and the children of Israel, and it was the same pillar of fire that had indwelt Jesus. And that's the same one who led Paul throughout his ministry. Now the problem is, he changed vessels. And people always get their eyes on the vessel, and they miss the God behind the vessel. 15-20 years ago, I said, Brother Vail, could we say that God was in Christ and Christ was in Jesus? He said, Brian, do you want to go crazy? He said, get your eyes off the vessel and get your eyes on the God behind the vessel. He said, the pillar of cloud, that was called Christ. He said, the pillar of fire was called Christ. The burning bush was called Christ. The rock that followed the children of Israel was called Christ. But they weren't Jesus. What is the pillar of rock today? It's a rock. That's all it is a rock sitting there in Saudi Arabia with a split down the middle. Watermarks where the water flowed from it. Does it mean anything today? No, absolutely not. But it's carnality that always looks to the thing created instead of the Creator. God gave Israel a brazen serpent. He said, if you look upon this, you'll be healed. And they began to worship it. God had to take it from them. There's only one God. There's only one object of worship. It is not a man. God is spirit. They that worship Him in spirit and truth. Get our eyes off the vessel and get our eyes on the God behind the vessel. From we would see Jesus, Brother Branham said, look, when He was here on earth, how many knows that that was a pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness? That it was Christ, the angel of the covenant, all right? And how many knows that that was Jesus in Jesus, that same Spirit? Look, when they questioned Him, St. John 6, calling to your attention, they said, you say that you're greater than Abraham. And He said, why, you're only 50 years old. Not yet. And He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am was in the burning bush, is that right? A pillar of fire. When He was here on earth, He said, I came from God, I go to God. Did He not say that? And then if He came from the pillar of fire, He returned back to it. After His death, burial, and resurrection, St. Paul was on his road to Damascus, and a big bright light struck him in the face and blinded him. None of the rest saw it. Paul saw it. It blinded him. He fell on the he fell to the ground. What is this pillar of fire again? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. Brother Bram said, Jesus in Jesus. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. If another come in his name, him you receive, but you won't receive me. And that same pillar of fire was on the scene in the midst of the people after it left Jesus. Who was the one that raised the dead? It wasn't the Son of God. He said the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do. Who was it that healed the crippled, the blind, the lame? He wasn't the Son of God. So why were they so focused on a return ministry of the man Jesus? And they missed the ministry of the pillar of fire working through Paul. And all they did at headquarters, so to speak, Jerusalem, is sit around saying who's in the message, who's not. That's what they did. Oh, Paul, he's got his own message. Paul was following the pillar of fire. The same one that they were following when that pillar of fire was in Jesus. The problem is, when he left Jesus, they kept following the man, even though God had took him off the scene. And that same pillar of fire was still on the scene in the midst of the people after it left Jesus. And so Paul not only observed that return ministry of the Spirit of Jesus in the form of the pillar of fire firsthand, but he so entered into that ministry that the man and the ministry became one. And Paul's ministry became the manifested word for his hour. And God was able to use Paul mightily because he so recognized the presence of the Holy Spirit while the others just sat around bickering about who was in the message and who wasn't. And if Alpha has not repeated in Omega, I don't know what has. You see, they were so focused on the man or the vessel that they missed the God who had used that vessel. Therefore, the return ministry concept is not new to Christianity, and it is not confined only to Christianity. The Mohammedans have been looking for Muhammad to come back on a white horse and to conquer once again. And I believe that those extremist Muslims that are trying to conquer now in the name of Muhammad are doing so with this in mind, hoping to set up his kingdom and to rule and reign once again. But that doesn't concern me. What concerns me is what is taking place in the message today. Now, I know that what I'm going to say this morning will be misunderstood by some, but I'm not concerned with that. What I am concerned with is this. If we are so focused on what is going to happen in the future or what has already taken place in the past, then you're missing what God is doing right now. And since He is the God of the I Am or the present truth, then if you're missing what He's doing now, you're out of the picture altogether. You missed it. You were through. Unless you repent and wake up to what God is doing right now, we're through. We've got a God of history, or we've got a God of the future. Now, we already read what Brother Branham said, many miss Him by the way that He reveals Himself. So if they miss Him, they miss Him. And He said, many of you listening to my tapes say Brother Branham is a oneness. I am not. So those are tape listeners that believe Brother Branham is oneness. And so they teach a oneness doctrine. So if they miss Him, they miss Him. And He said, many will miss God that way by looking forward and looking backward. Brother Branham taught us that God interprets His own word by bringing it to pass. So if you do not want to be guilty of misinterpreting the word, then be careful what you're saying about the return ministry. Now the question then arises, what do you believe concerning the tent and the time of the resurrection? A man from Jeffersonville wrote me last week. He said, I've been reading all your sermons and stuff. He said, I don't see you talking about the return ministry. He said, do you believe in the return ministry? And so I sent him a bunch of quotes about the resurrection scriptures and quotes about the resurrection, the time of the resurrection, the gathering together of the saints, like they did in Jesus' day after He resurrected from the dead for 50 days. And sent him that. And he said, well, after reading all that, he said, I still don't know whether you believe the return ministry. So I wrote back. I said, well, believe it according to who? I said, I gave you scriptures and quotes of what the scripture says about this hour and the Alpha repeating in Omega. I said, I don't know what you believe concerning Brother Brown coming back. But I said, I'll tell you one thing, I don't believe what most of those guys teaching the return ministry do. Because they've got it all made up in their mind, what's going to happen. And when you got that point, you're going to miss it. You are going to miss it. Brother Branham said, if you think you got it figured out, he said, no, one thing for certain, you don't. If God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass, and we are obligated to sit and wait for God to manifest that word, and then we'll know the interpretation thereof. Brother Branham taught us that God interprets his word by bringing it to pass, so if we do not want to be guilty of misinterpreting the word, then we've got to be careful about what we say concerning it. Now the question then arises, what do you believe concerning the tent and the time of the resurrection? Well, I believe exactly what Brother Ram taught about it. And that's all. No more, no less. As for the tent, he told his wife Mita, not too long before God took him off the scene, he said, Mita, I'm going to have that tent, even if it's for one meeting. But he also said it could have been an auditorium. It was just a huge place. So I do believe that there will be this tent or this huge place. Yep. For how long? I don't know. But I know at least for one meeting. Now the best thing that is that if we take everything back to the scripture, then we can't go wrong. Brother Branham said he checked every vision with the scripture, and if he had to check every vision by the scripture, then what about you and I? You see, for a resurrection ministry, Jesus had one. In Matthew 27, if you want to follow with me in the scripture, beginning reading at verse 50, we read, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And, remember, and is a conjunction, links two things. And came out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So when Jesus cried with that loud voice, it quickened that dimension or wherever they were at. But they didn't come out of the grave till after he came out of the grave. That's what the scripture tells us right there. So is Brother Branham going to have a personal resurrection? No, he's not. Will he come forth first as the first fruit of this hour? Yes, I believe that he'll come forth first. Now notice that when Jesus cried with a loud voice, the grave opened up and many saints which slept arose, but notice that they did not come out of the grave until after Jesus arose, that it might be fulfilled that he led captivity captive. Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection, so the others would by necessity have to follow after he arose. Now, do I believe that will happen again? Well, if you believe the Alpha must be repeated in Omega, yes, I do. You see, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul speaks of there being an order to the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection out from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his parousia. So if every man in his own order, then there is an order to how they will come up. Then Paul tells us a little bit more about the resurrection in a few more verses in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all not sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now what did Brother Branham have to say about this, being that he was a vindicated prophet? Well, he said the same thing Paul said. From Jehovah Jireh, number one, Brother Branham said, and then remember, if we go before he comes, we will be up and in his presence, or raised before the others are changed. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Look at the order of the resurrection. See, God knows that we long to see our loved ones. And if we got there to meet him first, we'd be looking around to see if mother or dad or the rest of them was there. But see how the Holy Spirit in his wisdom, we meet one another first, And then when we get there and sing Amazing Grace, that's when there's going to be one great time of worship. So God allows an order. And the order is that this age comes up first, then the next age, Wesley's age, and Luther's age, and all the way back to Paul's age. And we'll see one another. We'll know who made it. So that when the Son of God comes before us, he said, you talk about a time of worship then. And from a sermon he preached called the Seven Church Ages, Brother Branham said, behold, he cometh with clouds. Now let me stop here just a moment. Clouds doesn't mean that he's coming on a big thunderhead, his mama, bless her heart. She's sitting here somewhere. I remember her voice. She used to sit and tell me. She said, he's coming on a great big cloud. It's going to rain someday and God's going to come down on it. Now the cloud that he's coming in is, if we just had the time to get this back and get the real background of the whole thing. Now the cloud he's coming in is not a cloud like a thunderhead, but it's a cloud of glory he's coming in. See? Now when Jesus was overshadowed by God in Mount Transfiguration, clouds overshadowed him and his raiment, see? And when Elijah would come down, a cloud would come down and received him up. Not a great thunderhead, but a cloud of glory. His great glorious presence will strike the earth. He cometh with clouds. Oh, I love that. Clouds. There'll be wave after wave of his glory will come across the earth, and the resurrection of the saints shall come. That blessed Holy Spirit that lived in their hearts, and they're dried there with their corpse laying there and pierced veins over their cheeks and things like that, and they're placed back in the graveyard. But a great wave of that same Spirit, and wave after wave, he that was last will be first. He that was first will be last. I kind of see it that way. That's the order of the resurrection. I won't know nobody in the generation before me or the generation after me. I'll know those in the generation with me. And every generation will come successfully right as it went down. They which were last will be first. Sure, that's me, see? I'll know my people. The next time my dad and his people, my grandfather, his people, on down like that, wave after wave after wave after wave, and the saints will rise from everywhere. Won't that be wonderful? Amen. That makes the old people feel young again. Yes. Notice now closely, for I come to you in a cloud, and every eye shall see him. No matter how far back they died, they'll see him. From Questions and Answers, Brother Branham said, Brother Branham, will the bride go through the persecution as the early apostolic church did? No, I just explained that a few minutes ago. No, the next thing is a rapture. Remember, we're at the promised land. We're at the border. You understand the march of Israel. From just one more time, he said, Brother, sister, I don't know in my Bible of any other thing that God promised to do before the rapture of the church. The next thing left is for the rapture of the church. It could come at any time. And not disrupt any scripture in the Bible as far as I know it. Now we know that the rapture is already in progress, because a vindicated prophet told us that the Lord does three things in his descent. He said a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. And he told us the shout is the message, that is the charisma, which is the military command, all things in subjection. Well, frankly, Paul told us that we are all things in Christ. And I do not see that we are all in subjection yet to God. The next thing is the voice, which Brother Branham said is the resurrection, the same voice that raised Lazarus from the grave. And that was not the voice of the Son of God, but God that was indwelling his Son. He said, Lazarus, come forth, and he did. Remember, the woman said, well, Brother Branham, Jesus wept. That makes him a man. He said, well, yeah, that he was a man when he wept. But he said, when he said, Lazarus, come forth, he said, that was more than a man. That was God that was indwelling that man. So if it's the same voice that raised Lazarus from the dead, is the same voice that's going to bring forth the resurrection in this hour, it's not the voice of the Son of God. It's the voice of God of the Son. The last is the trump. It's a catching away, and that is what takes us out of here. So there is a time element to each of these three phases of the rapture. Now from the rapture, Brother Branham said, three things happen. A voice, a shout, a voice, a trump has to happen. Jesus appears. Now, a shout. Jesus does all three things when he's descending. A shout. What is a shout? It's the message going forth first. The living bread of life, bringing forth the bride. Now, God has a way of doing things, and he never changes his policy. He never changes his... He's the unchanging God. Amos 3:7 said he would do nothing on the earth until he first revealed it to his servant the prophets. And just as certain as he promised it, he'll do it. Also from the rapture, he said, therefore the message called the bride together. See, the shout and the trump. The same morning with a loud voice, he screamed out with a shout and a voice and woke Lazarus. With a loud voice he cried, Lazarus, come forth. And the voice wakes up the sleeping bride, the sleeping dead. And the trumpet, with the sound of the trumpet, and when it does, it calls, always a trumpet called Israel to the Feast of the Trumpets, which was the Pentecostal feast, the great feast in the sky and the Feast of the Trumpet. And now a trumpet denounces a calling together, calling to the feast. And now that is the Lamb's Supper in the sky. Now watch, the assembling together in the bride, the Feast of the Trumpets, the wedding supper, we have seen it in the types. Now watch just a moment before we close. Also from the rapture, he said, the next thing is what? Was a trumpet. A voice, a shout, a voice, a trump. Now the third thing is a trumpet, which always at the Feast of Trumpets is calling the people to a feast. And that'll be for the bride's supper, the Lamb's Supper with the bride in the sky. See, the first thing comes forth is his message calling the bride together. That's a shout. The next thing is the resurrection of the sleeping bride, the one that's died back over in other ages. They're caught together in the trumpet, the feast in the heavens. Why? It's the thing that takes place, friends. We're right ready for it now. The only thing the church coming out has got to lay in the sun to ripen. The great combine will come one of these days, or come after a while. The wheat will be burned, the stalks, but the grain will be gathered into it, into the garner. So we have in process the shout. What is the shout doing? It's bringing all things in subjection. Now, how you come into subjection if you don't know who to be subject to? But when you recognize the difference between the Father and the Son, the relationship between the Father and the Son, and how Jesus set the pattern, he was subject to the Father in all things. William Branham, man after, Paul said that we would be conformed to the image of God's firstborn Son, William Branham, the first in this hour to do so. Conformed to that image, so much so that people thought he was Jesus himself because of what God did through the man. Conformed to the image. God's looking for every son to be conformed to that image. From God hiding in simplicity, Brother Branham said, but you know Jesus didn't come contrary to the word. He came according to the word, but contrary to their interpretation of it. See? He taught things that was against their ecclesiastical training about him. And from Titus we read, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and he's here. And if you're looking down the road for a return ministry and you're failing to recognize the great hope of the great and glorious appearing of our God and Savior, then you've missed it. You've missed what it's all about. How are you going to be adopted, which means a change of the body, if you don't even know your relationship to the Father as a son? And if you're not obedient to your Father, and if you don't have the mind of your Father, you see? From letting off the pressure, Brother Adam said, what's the matter with the people? Can't they see that we're at the end time? It's all over. The next thing will be a sweep, the little group together, and a month or so she'll be gone as soon as she's gathered together. So I do not look for a very long period of time when the resurrection begins. In the book of Acts, we see that it was about 50 days in all, up to the day of Pentecost. An Alpha must repeat in Omega. You know, 50 days is about 6 weeks. Brother Matt said, well, I'd like to have the tent 6 weeks here. I'd like to have the tent 6 weeks here. I'd like to have the tent 6 weeks here. Whether he has it or not, that was his vision. I believe he'll have for one meeting. But it ain't going to be 6 weeks here, 6 weeks there, 6 weeks there. There's only allotted about 6 weeks for the resurrection, according to Alpha. Now, I was associated with the Return Ministry Group about 30 years ago. And all this is nothing new to me. All this talk about Return Ministry. I've heard it for the last 30 years. Most of it hasn't changed. A few things have changed, like the size of the airplane and different things like that, you know. But there's a danger in running headstrong after this teaching. Most of them professing the Return Ministry have rejected the doctrine that Brother Branham taught and have also deified Brother Branham as a man making himself God. And when you talk to them, they do not speak of the Word of God or the doctrine that separated Brother Branham from all other ministries. What they talk about is a supernatural that took place. But Brother Branham made it very clear that the supernatural was only the bait to get us to see who was there. But that is what they reject. And if they believe the presence, then they would not be looking down the road. They do not teach the presence of the pillar of fire is here leading the bride, nor do they affirm the Godhead. So be very careful not to get too involved with this teaching. I speak from experience. Brother Vail and I have talked many times about this, and he plans to speak one more time. And when he does, it's going to be to clear up a lot of misunderstanding concerning this very doctrine of the return ministry of William Branham. You know, it's strange that when you listen to those men who speak of Brother Branham coming back, it's as though the Lord Jesus Christ himself is returning. And they have more fear of Brother Branham coming back than they have of the Lord Jesus returning and of the judge who's here now. And when you listen to their talk, it brings a spirit of fear upon you. And Paul said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind and love. So when that ministry stands there and places fear upon the people, that ministry is not of God. Concerning Brother Brown coming back in the resurrection, we must never forget what took place in the Alpha, that it must repeat in the Omega. Jesus himself did not have his own separate resurrection. When he rose from the dead, the Old Testament saints arose also, although he came forth first because he was the first fruit of that resurrection. Many who teach the return ministry as their staple are concerned about the tent, and yet Brother Branham said that he thought it looked more like a large auditorium. And you do not take a large auditorium from one place to another in an airplane. Our focus should be on what God is doing now, not down the road. As Brother Laurie Hudson put it when he came here, he said, we're not against the fact that Brother Branham is coming back, but there is a balance, and that balance says God will interpret his own word by bringing it to pass. And so we should wait, or we could miss it altogether. So we must wait for God to bring it to pass before we go to preaching about it, or we may find ourselves getting the people looking in the wrong direction and miss whatever God has for us right now. From the message Mother's Day, and Brother Branham said, and as that light begins to spread, we'll know as we're known. We'll understand. And we'll remember our acquaintances and the ones that's been there. And there'll be many there that we didn't even think would be there. For you know, it is at that time that I believe that the bread that we have cast upon human troubled waters will return to us on that day. When we see the effects of our testimony on people that we didn't understand their actions towards it, we'll probably be there. What a day that will be. And when the seeds that we've sown, not even thinking what they would do, but here they are. They brought forth precious fruits, and we'll see them on that day. So talk about what God is doing in this hour. Leave the results up to God. And one day you'll see the fruits of your labor when that great time of the resurrection takes place. From the message Mother's Day, he also said, and as that great light begins to spread all, as we begin to look around in that great circle, we'll be getting greater and greater and greater. It's all just reflecting the approach of Jesus. And after a while, as the song said, and I shall see Jesus at last. He will be waiting for me, Jesus so kind and true. On his beautiful throne, he'll welcome me home after this day is through. Then as we see him, and we'll not be as we are now, we'll know how to love him more. We'll not stand back with a little fear, because we'll be like him. Listen to this. He'll be more of a relative to us than he is now. Why? He said, go tell my brothers that I must ascend unto my God and to their God, to my Father and their Father. He'll be more of a relative because you'll know him as your brother. Hallelujah. We'll understand him better because we're so far away in this mortal bodies. Then we'll have a body like his glorious body. We'll know how to worship him. And when we see that what the presence of his being has done to us and changed us, the old back young again, all the deformed straightened out. Oh, we'll understand then why his power healed us. The question that's been in our mind, how can he do it? What would this be? Somehow, mysteriously, they'll all fade away. The knots that's been tied in the back of our minds, will it be this or could it be this? Somehow or another, majestic fingers will just untangle, unravel those knots, and it'll all fade into one big crown of love. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that day. From when their eyes were opened, he said, soon there's something greater than this coming. It'll soon be here. It'll be a marvelous thing then. if the Lord willing. How many ever read my last vision? That's been wrote up in the magazine. Wait till you see that that take place. Then this will be minor, what the Lord's fixing here. You'll just keep on and on and on, and Jesus is coming. The time of the gathering of the people is at hand, and we must look forward to great things to happen. How many read the sermon, "When Omnipotent Speaks, Miracles Happen"? Did you believe that? Certainly, Omnipotent spoke at every junction, and when the church cooled off, then Omnipotent spoke, miracles took place. And this is the junction of all junctions. This is the end time. The end of the whole history of the whole world is right now at hand, so you can expect Omnipotence to speak, and you can expect the greatest and mightiest miracles that's ever happened on the earth will happen in the next few years to come. Jesus tarries, it will come. The greatest form of healing, you know what it is? It's resurrection. When the body's been decayed, every limb, every sinew in the body's been totally destroyed, and it's resurrected back whole again. You talk about a great time of healing coming, brother. We're going to see it any time now. From greater than Solomon is here, so I pray that someday that I'll see a great uniting together of all the body of Jesus Christ coming together at one great big body. Then the rapture will come. Well, what's that great big body going to be? It's the body of Christ. Yeah. And I see it happening. All around the world, brothers are coming to know that they truly are brothers. Sons of the eternal King. Brothers of King Jesus. Prince Jesus, who will become, when God incarnates him again, King of Kings. King of Kings. King, singular, of kings, plural. And Paul said, we shall be kings and priests. From what is the Holy Ghost, Brother Emerson, now the Spirit of God has worked through justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, the baptism of the Holy Ghost under Pentecost, and here it is in the last day, performing and doing the same thing that he did when it was in Christ. What is it? The church and Christ has become one, and as soon as they connect together, that last link shall go through the sky shouting, Up will come Wesley, up will come Luther, all the rest of them back in those days. He that was first will be last, and he that's last will be first, and there'll come forth a resurrection. Again, from questions and answers, Brother Bram said, just now, Brother Mercer said he got the best of all the meetings where we explained that when the Holy Spirit came into the meetings and broke itself up, and God dividing himself among the people, well, that's just what it does. And then when God begins, God's people begin to gather back together, there's unity, there's power, see? And whenever God's people gets together completely, I believe the resurrection will take place then. There'll be a rapturing time when the Holy Spirit begins to gather it up. It'll be in a minority, of course, but there'll be a great gathering. And from uniting time and sign, we find that now the time comes when the trumpet sounds, those sleeping saints back there that could not be made perfect without us. There's many of these Hebrew brothers, and when they come together, they unite with the living ones, the church uniting with the Word. And when the church and the Word uniting together become one, the dead saints that's living, the dead saints with the living saints uniting together to be one, and all going together to unite with Christ yonder for the wedding supper of the Lamb, and to think of us standing in a moment in the twinkling of an eye when the world won't know what's going on, but all of a sudden you'll see appear before you your loved ones that's gone on, has come to unite with you, and will be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together to meet our Lord in the air. Let's get ready. Let's get ready for the midnight cry. It's coming in an hour when you think it not. There'll be a cry, not amongst the unbelieving world. It'll be a secret. And yet, why are these men preaching that it's to, you know, they talk about the third pole. They say it's to the world, but for the totally lost. Brother Branham said they won't know nothing about it. From how can I overcome? He said, sooner or later we're going to have to give each other up, but that won't hurt the rapture now. See, no, they come first then. They come first then. Them are privileged that's going on. They come first. See, we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will not hinder or prevent those that are asleep. The trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then when our eyes behold our loved ones, then we'll be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye, and with them shall be caught up together. You remember me preaching a few weeks ago about the faith of Jesus from Gethsemane to the cross. And I brought out the fact that Jesus said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed and say to this mountain, be moved and don't doubt in your heart, it'll move. And Paul said, if I have all faith to move all mountains. So whether you have all faith or have faith the size of a mustard seed, it'll do the same thing. People are looking for Brother Branham to come back to speak some great words, give them rapturing faith. Brother Branham said here, when you see the dead saints alive and in your midst, he said, that will bring on the change of the body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you see that dead are raised, when those people saw Jesus Christ as he walked right through that, and Thomas put his fingers into his hands, you talk about a sweep coming over the body. Yes, and what happened then? God filled them with the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, if the Spirit that was in Christ be in you, it will also change your mortal body. So the main thing is get the Spirit. Make sure that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Jesus, your Son, said, my words are spirit and they are life. So if we want your Holy Spirit, Father, may we fill up with your word until your word is overflowing from us. And we know then that we have your Spirit residing in us when we can't hold our tongue any longer. When the words are so filled in our heart and our mind that we've got to talk and share it with others. David said, my cup overfloweth. And we know David was a man after God's own heart. And we know that David was filled with the Spirit of God, for that's what the Scripture saith. And yet David said, take not thy Spirit from me. Father, we pray that your divine Spirit, your God life, would so permeate every fiber of our body, would bring every fiber of our body into subjection. May it begin with the fibers of our mind first, of our brain. As Brother Branham said, they need their brains baptized, not only their body. Father, we pray that you would baptize every fiber of our brains, every fiber of our soul and spirit with your Holy Spirit. May God life so indwell us that, as Paul said, let the mind that was in Christ be in us. For we know that without the mind of Christ we'll not receive the body change, for that is the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. May we not do anything unless the Father show us first. May what we teach be what you commanded us to teach. May we not have doctrine but your doctrine. And may we not have a will of our own. May we give up our own will, that your will would be done. For these are the elements, these are the framework of the obedience that your Son Jesus showed. And that you were so pleased with him that you took him up under the mountain. You adopted him before all. So, Father, we pray for the adoption, knowing that that will be the redemption of our bodies. That when we have come to the place where the mind that was in Christ is in us, you'll say, come up higher. And you'll give us a body commensurate with the mind. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. To be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like him. Do we have that in the... Let's just sing the chorus from memory. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like
like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him.
Amen. Next Saturday will be communion. Saturday. Wednesday, if the brothers, it'd be 7 o'clock. And Wednesday, if the brothers want to come again for prayer, we'll have prayer and do a few things around the church and have some fellowship that way. God bless you all.
To be like Jesus.